In the time of King Herod, this is from the book of Matthew, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard all this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. Okay, so these three guys from far, far away come into Jerusalem. They're looking for the Messiah, and they go to the king in Jerusalem, because that's just where important people live, is in Jerusalem. And so they come to Jerusalem looking for this king, or for this newborn king, this Messiah. And the current king doesn't like competition, and he says to them, where's this king? Where, you tell me about this king. You come looking for it. I got some questions too. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers." So they're quoting Old Testament scripture here. "For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage.'" If this was like a children's message, or maybe there's some young people here today who don't know. Like, for the grown-ups, the story's ruined, isn't it? You already know the story. But for young people, like, Sophie, do you know what happened? I won't ask you personally, but, like, the king is saying to the people who came to see Jesus, "When you find him, let me know, because I want to go see him too." Everybody loves a baby, right? And so they say to the king, the king says to them, and so when they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. So there's a star they're following, and some of you are going, yeah. And it goes to a place, and they follow it, and when they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. And may God add his blessing, the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his holy word. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. So, Alex, I love having you here, because I can explain things to you, because you probably don't know this story, right? No. So I can explain it to you in sort of detail, and everybody else, they're like, okay, I've heard it a million times, but you can go ahead and tell it again, right, everybody? And so, these wise men are coming to see the baby Jesus, but he's not a baby anymore. Most everybody, scholarly wise, they say he was probably about 2 years old by now. So it says sometime after he was born. And where did they go see him? Did anybody pick up on that? House. They went to the house to see him. So he's probably about 2 years old. And they're coming to worship Jesus. They stop by and ask for directions. Some people say, if it was women, have you seen this one? What if it was, if the wise men were wise women, someone help me out. They wouldn't have had to stop and ask for directions, and they would have been on time. The guys were, but they, in their defense, they came a long way. And so they go to see this king. Where is this newborn king? Where's this Messiah? And King Herod, not being privy to that information, says, I don't know, but when you find him, let me know so I can go worship him too. The king didn't want to worship Jesus. He had harm in mind for Jesus. So God revealed to the wise man what? Don't go tell him. Don't go tell Herod. And so thus ends the story of the wise men. This is what we refer to as the Epiphany. Epiphany is a word that's like, did you see the baby there? Did you see the mouth open? Doesn't the baby just look like it has seen something amazing and wonderful? An epiphany is a sudden insight. It's something that you may have been trying to figure out a problem for a long time, and all of a sudden, it's an aha moment, an epiphany. And we call the 12th day after Christmas the Epiphany. So the Epiphany is always on the 6th. Okay? So you've got Christmas on the 25th of December. Most of society and our shopping world would have you believe that you shop 12 days before Christmas, and that's the 12 days of Christmas. When in reality, the 12 days of Christmas starts on Jesus' birthday and goes for 12 days, and it ends on December 6th. And that's why last week we had Christmas decorations up, and this week Scott has removed them, he and his elves. They're gone. The Epiphany has happened, and we know who Jesus is. The wise men, on behalf of the world, go to testify about who Jesus is, and they bring him gold and myrrh and frankincense. So here's where I want to go with this just for a few minutes this morning, is on the idea of an epiphany. Who can tell me where this, you see the title of the sermon here, Flesh and Blood Has Not Revealed This to You. Who can tell me where that's from? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Anybody say it's from the Bible? You'd get it right. Where in the Bible? Don't be shy. Not you, because you were at 8:30 church, and you probably knew it anyhow. Anybody with a guess? Yeah, in context, you don't have to tell me. Bing, bing, bing! Anybody sitting there going, dang, I knew it! So Jesus has his disciples, and Jesus is saying, who do people say I am? And the disciples say, well, some say you are a prophet. Some say you are Elijah. Some say you are John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist had been beheaded by this time. So some people say you're John the Baptist that has come back. Some people say you're Elijah has come back. And Jesus says to them, well, who do you say I am? This is the most important question in the Bible. It may not be the most important thing in the Bible, but as far as you're concerned, your answer to this question is the most important question in the Bible. Who do you say I am? So Jesus says to the disciples, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you're the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to Peter, well said, Simon Bar-Jonah. Peter's name was Simon before Jesus started calling him Peter. It's like once you get in the Jesus club, he gives you a nickname. And Simon's name is now Peter. And so, but he says, well, but he still calls him Simon sometimes. And Simon bar Jonah. Bar means from in this language. So, Simon from Jonah. Who do you figure Jonah is? His father. So, Simon, son of Jonah, well said. But Jesus says, but it's not that you're that smart. You see, Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. God revealed to the disciples that Jesus was his son. God revealed to the wise men that the Messiah could be found at the end of the star. God revealed to the wise men not to go back and tell Herod. Do you have anybody who you wish, or maybe you yourself, wish that you knew Jesus more, or wish that you were closer to Jesus, or wish that knew Jesus, or wish that would accept Jesus? And I struggle with this all the time. Do we make a choice? We absolutely do. But somehow, there's this revelation that God makes to us. Here's where I want to go with this today. There is somehow an action from God that works in a way that you have an epiphany. When you become a Christian, it's really not any credit to you. Sometimes Christians, we act like we're better than other people, or we act like we're in the club and others are out of the club. And I'm here to tell you that God did something to allow you to say yes. And this sort of flies in the face of our choice, but we do have to make a choice. Do you see what I'm saying? There's this tension between... So it's like people who don't get it. Do you know anybody who just doesn't get it? The Christian thing? You so want them to get it, and they just don't get it. And it's almost... I don't want to take personal responsibility out of this, but it's almost like we shouldn't pray... We should pray for God to reveal himself more to them. Does that make sense? That we should pray for God... I'm thinking about Key West. Or am I thinking about it? There's a lot of stuff that goes on at Key West that some people would think... One of the things is drinking. There's a lot of alcohol at Key West. And some people would say that alcohol's bad. And I'm just picking alcohol because there was a lot of it down there. But God may have revealed to you, this is just like a little example, God may have revealed to you that you are not supposed to drink. Okay? God may not have revealed that to Justin. Justin may have on his heart that it's okay to have a glass of wine. It's okay to go out and drink a beer and shoot a game of pool. I don't know. I picked Justin just because I don't always see pictures of him at the bar. I didn't want to pick somebody who... You saw some pictures of me at the bar if you were on Facebook. Every place that there is to eat in Key West is a bar. It's like the judging thing for us. Whatever God has revealed to you for you to live a certain way, it doesn't necessarily carry over to how other people are supposed to live. God will reveal to them, and now they may or may not be listening, but God will reveal to them what He wants. Now, will He use good Christian friends sometimes to reveal that to us? I think He will. And some of you are going, I have absolutely no idea what He's talking about today. And I feel like I'm not making myself very clear. But what I get from this is that God imparts some kind of supernatural insight, wisdom, conversion, something. And it's a gift from Him. It's a gift from Him to tell you what you should and what you should not be doing. It was a gift to the wise men to tell them, don't go back and see Herod. It was a gift for him to tell me that you are a sinner and you need saved by my grace. I don't even have that in me to say yes. He says that to me and I say, you're right. And then one magical night in Ravenswood, West Virginia, I went to the altar of a church and I said, you're right. And it has nothing to do with it. It's why this sermon is so unimportant today. Because it's not about words of people. Can we make someone, can we be a stumbling block? Absolutely. Can we make a way more clear so that God can reach someone and they can reach God? Absolutely. But it has nothing to do with this sermon today. It's God and you. It's God and me. And He has to do something, and He has, and I said yes. And He might be doing something today for one of you out there, and he's going, I'm just to prove that it's God, I'm going to use the ramblings of a preacher today who didn't have a full 7 days to work on his sermon. Because he was watching his boys sing karaoke Thursday night. Just to prove how awesome I am, he can say, I'm going to do this on this day. And you're going to say yes to Jesus because it's an epiphany. It's just something that just happens because God acts. And so when Jesus said to Peter, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven, the Father in heaven revealed to the wise men, don't go back and see Herod. The Father in heaven revealed to me my need for Jesus. And I said yes, and my life changed forever. And my family said, amen. And it's not a bad thing when He reveals that to you. When He says, you can have me and choose me over this other thing, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. All right, I think I'm done. And the people said, amen. As you leave today, does that not take some pressure off of you? That it's not dependent upon you. It doesn't take away the personal responsibility. I know you're going, he said he was done. I'm just saying, as we leave today, let's leave free people. Let's leave unburdened. Let me pray. God, you are amazing, and you did know exactly who was going to be here today, and you didn't know exactly, even though I didn't know exactly, you knew exactly how this was going to go. You know whose heart you are touching right now, sitting in this congregation, and it has nothing to do with the great song that Logan sang, has nothing to do with balloons or flowers or a preacher's sermon. You, right now, are giving someone some insight into different things. You're giving some people some insight into struggles that they have been going through, and you're very aware of those struggles, and you're maybe telling them today that there is light on the horizon. You are telling some people today that they need you, that they haven't yet surrendered their lives to you, and you're just giving them some insight today, an epiphany, that today's the day that you are going to work on their behalf if they will but say yes to save them today. You have so many things going on here, Lord, I can't even name them all. But I pray that as each person here is having a conversation with you, and some their minds are wandering right now, but there's others right now who are really just having a moment. Pray that you would continue to have the conversation with them as we sing our closing hymn. And I pray that your will would be done. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.